This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for May 28th, 2010. I'm Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading synopses of a clinical article, a laboratory investigation, and two case reports which were published online today by the Journal of Neurosurgery. This clinical article is titled Analysis of the Subdural Evacuating Port System for the Treatment of Subacute and Chronic Subdural Hematomas. It was written by Tyler Kenning and colleagues. The evacuation of subdural hematomas may be associated with significant morbidity and mortality rates. In an effort to limit this risk, attempts have been made to treat these collections in a less invasive manner. The subdural evacuating port system from Medtronic is a quick, bedside procedure that can be performed with only local analgesia. The authors present a single institution experience with this system for the treatment of subacute and chronic subdural collections. 85 collections were treated in 74 patients over a 53-month period. Successful drainage, defined as the avoidance of further operative evacuation procedures, was achieved in 74% of cases. The only statistically significant factor identified to be predictive of success was the radiographic appearance of the subdural collection. That is, more hypodense collections were treated successfully, whereas mixed density collections were more likely to fail subdural evacuating port system treatment. In summary, the subdural evacuating port system appears to be a safe and effective treatment option for draining subacute and chronic subdural hematomas. This laboratory investigation is titled Neuroprotection by Glucagon, Role of Gluconeogenesis. It was written by Rami, Abu, Fan, and co-authors. Brain damage due to traumatic brain injury, or TBI, results from direct mechanical damage and endogenous self-destructive processes. For many years, hypoglycemia has been considered a risk factor for secondary injury following TBI. This risk is managed by insulin. However, insulin has diverse metabolic effects in addition to lowering blood glucose, for example, decreasing the levels of circulating amino acids, including glutamate, which can be neurotoxic. The authors of this study sought to determine whether reducing the concentration of glutamate without decreasing glucose would improve outcomes. Glucagon activates gluconeogenesis by inducing the hepatic uptake of gluconeogenic amino acids, including glutamate from the blood, and converting them into glucose. After TBI, in which the blood-brain barrier is permeable, decreasing glutamate in the circulation may have a similar effect in the CNS. Data in this study showed that a single intraperitoneal injection of glucagon 10 minutes after closed head injury in mice reduced lesion size by about 60% and significantly accelerated post-TBI neurological recovery. The neuroprotective effect of glucagon was related to gluconeogenesis by decreasing the concentration of the neuroexcitatory amino acid glutamate in the circulation and the CSF. This occurred notwithstanding the attendant increase in blood glucose. Favorable effects were also seen when glucagon was given prior to TBI, suggesting its involvement in the preconditioning process. Thus, glucagon may provide neuroprotection when given after TBI or prior to certain neurosurgical or cardiac interventions in which the incidence of tissue injury or perioperative ischemia is high. The case report, Cystic Granular Cell Tumor Mimicking Rathke Cleft Cyst, was written by Michael Mumert and co-workers. Symptomatic granular cell tumors of the neurohypophysis are rarely reported. Granular cell tumors in this region are rarely associated with any clinical symptoms, but are in fact a fairly common finding in autopsy studies. The rarity of symptomatic granular cell tumors, as well as the heterogeneous imaging presentation, makes this tumor difficult to diagnose without histological analysis. The authors report the first fully described case of a symptomatic granular cell tumor with a large cystic component. The appearance of this lesion was consistent with the radiographic appearance of a large Rathke cleft cyst with intracystic nodule. This cystic component adds a new radiographic characteristic associated with granular cell tumors. Darian Esfahani and colleagues wrote this report of three cases. It is titled, Motor Cortex Stimulation, Functional Magnetic Resonance Imaging Localized Treatment for Three Sources of Intractable Facial Pain. Patients with intractable hemifacial pain represent a formidable clinical challenge. Motor cortex stimulation is a novel treatment for intractable pain syndromes that are otherwise unresponsive to pharmacological or surgical measures. These pain disorders stem from a variety of causes, ranging from post-viral, trauma-induced, atypical, and idiopathic neuropathies. In this article, the authors present three distinct cases of intractable unilateral facial pain successfully treated with motor cortex stimulation. Determining the location of stimulation was accomplished through precise presurgical functional magnetic resonance imaging mapping of the precentral gyrus, and electrodes were placed subdurally. In addition to reviewing the case histories, the authors also discuss the potential mechanisms underlying the palliative effect of motor cortex stimulation. Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all weekly podcasts delivered to you as soon as they go live on Fridays. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.